This podcast is brought to you by the Islamic Center at NYU. For more information, visit our website at www.icnyu.org.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Bismillah wa alhamdulillah. Wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We thank him, we praise him, we glorify him. We beseech him to send his choicest salutations upon his most beloved, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and upon all those who choose to tread in his path until the last day. Alhamdulillah, we find ourselves in very blessed days, the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. May Allah make them a means of benefit and increase for all of us. And to understand that embedded within these blessed days is opportunity for us to gain an increase, not just in terms of a worldly sense, but in terms of an otherworldly sense. That not only is each of these days said to be blessed, and they are sanctified in so many ways, but we have within them also the blessed day of the day of Arafah, the ninth of Dhul Hijjah. May Allah make us from amongst those who reach it, witness it, and have it be a means of khair for us. We have in it the 10th of Dhul Hijjah, the day of Eid al-Adha. May Allah make it a day of celebration for all of us and a day through which we draw closer to Him. We have within it immense opportunities where we find ourselves surrounded by so many doors and openings to do good for others. That where the hadith tells us that deeds in these days are more beloved to Allah than at any other time. The opportunity to engage in actions that are pleasing to the divine are not limited in any capacity. The only thing that they would necessitate is a recognition of us on what kind of limits we ourselves put. Today I want to focus on something that's quite important within these days of Dhul Hijjah. How in fact we can gain individually and also those around us can gain collectively from the practice that is given to us as a means of connecting to the divine, the ritual, the form of worship that we know as dua, supplication. And there's a challenge when we translate some of these words. Nuance gets lost in it. But to understand that we have capacity as any person, any individual, really of any background, where in the Quran, the verse is a divine promise, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمُ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ, that your Lord says, call upon me, I will reply, I will respond. And what the Mufassirin will say about this verse, the commentators on the Quran, is that anybody who calls upon God will have their prayer responded to. In these days and in these nights, we have opportunity to yield from the barakah, the blessing. And quite often what limits us is not things that are external, but things that exist internally. And as we focus and try to recognize on the uniqueness of this practice that is dua, to understand primarily it's not meant to be something that is done just rotely or regurgitated, but it's something that necessitates our presence in every way, shape, and form. A dua mukhal ibadah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that dua is the essence of worship. And this word mukh, it doesn't mean essence in the way that the English language would have us understand it, but it's really referring to, within the Arabic, something similar to your internal skeletal nervous system. But it's saying that dua, as the mukh of ibadah, is something that is very cerebral in its implementation. And it's hard because when you have ritual that is there and you have mechanics to ritual and there's verses and words that you memorize, It's quite easy to just say them from the tongue and not say them from the heart. And when you compare the practice of dua, supplication, when we are just praying to God and asking of Him, really with no boundaries, because if you think about it, what are the limitations on when and where one can make dua? You don't make dua in the bathroom. You don't make dua when you're in that kind of place or situation. So the majority and crux of what it is that we do in the course of our day can allow for us at any moment in time to engage in a calling upon God where we are now linking to Him in the most fundamental way. But different from your fast, or different from your salah, your five daily prayers, different from your charity, your zakah, different from your hajj, your pilgrimage, different from recitation of the Quran and other things that have form and order to them, fundamentally in your dua, you have more of a choice of what it is that you are asking Allah for. It's your words, your supplication. You get to choose what it is that you are turning to the divine in pursuit of, asking Him, beseeching Him, invoking Him by His beautiful names. You don't get to decide that Fajr is prayed now at a different time in the day. You don't get to decide that there are now going to be 4 rak'ahs of sunnah prayer or 4 rak'ahs of fard prayer in the Fajr prayer. The Fajr prayer has a designated time. It has designated cycles and units of prayer that you pray within them. There are some flexibilities in what you can recite from the Quran in portions of it, but pretty much the movements, the mechanics, the words that are being recited are things that we don't necessarily have too much flexibility on. As is the case with the Dhuhr prayer, the Asr prayer, the Maghrib prayer, the Isha prayer, the Janazah prayer, the Duha prayer, the Tahajjud prayer, Qiyamul Layl, Salatul Tarawih, Salatul Tasbih, Salatul Haja, Salatul Istikhara. All of these prayers have forms, mechanics. Your dua, you can ask for whatever you want to. You get to decide the words that you use. In your zakah, there are parameters, there are rules, formulas. You reach a certain threshold of wealth beyond that, and you hold it for a lunar calendar year, you now have to, on your total assets minus liabilities, give that wealth that is owed as an obligation. There's not flexibility on what's there. You can decide to a certain extent who you give your zakah to, but the categories are also defined and identified. Just like in the Hajj, just like in your fasting. But with dua, it's a form of worship that Allah has given to us that allows for us to be not only what is malleable, but for the ritual to have some malleability to it as well. If you were to create a formula on how ritual functions within Islam, you have the vehicle through which you are connecting to God, you have God Himself, Allah Zawjal, and then you have you. And in most instances, the vehicle does not change. Your salah is your salah, your prayer is your prayer, your fast is your fast. Allah does not ever change. He is ghani, free of need, self-sufficient. And so in most instances, the yield from salah, the yield from zakah, the yield from siyam, the yield from hajj your prayer, your charity, your fasting, your pilgrimage. These are heavily impacted by the presence of yourself that you're bringing to it. But with dua, you also bring yourself as well as determine what the content of the prayer itself is in its entirety. You are deciding when you make it, where you make it, how you make it, the state that you are in when you are making it, what you are saying when it is being made. You are also deciding when those things are not being done. And this is critical to understand because the hadith is clear, a dua mukhal ibadah, that dua, it is the essence of worship. And the basis of it is such that you are creating and yielding opportunity for spiritual increase through these spiritual exercises and vehicles, some of which are obligatory, some of which are recommended, but they all create distinct opening so that your calling upon God is one that gives that much more transformation to you. And so in these blessed days of Dhul Hijjah, as we anticipate the day of Arafah, may Allah make it a means of benefit for us. You start to relate more to this component of worship, dua, by not letting any time and any opportunity where you have capacity to make that prayer to be one that is left behind. And you ready yourself and familiarize yourself. So when you are standing on the ninth of Dhul Hijjah, the day of Arafah, the day that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has equated the Hajj in its entirety to be, Al-Hajju Arafah, you're not just sitting there saying, what do I do now? Because you have full capacity to make conscious decision about what your du'as are going to be about. And the gains that come from them are not just singular. There is so much that we can find in it. One, you start to reflect on the state of your dua just in terms of its content. And even prior to that, if I can take that back, first you just think about how many du'as have you made in the last day, the last week, the last month, the last year. And your familiarity with it as an exercise is going to then increase potentially your ability to yield more from it. Because just like any exercise, the ability to relate to it and find comfort in it is not going to be just by doing it once every year. If you go for a jog just once every month, once every 3 months, you try to exercise once every calendar year, you're going to get out of it what you put into it. Once you start to adopt a regular practice of just praying to God in this form of prayer, dua, rooted in an intention where the divine says, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ وَدْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. They call upon me and I will respond to your prayer. The first thing in order to benefit from dua is that you have to make dua in the first place. You have to supplicate to God. You have to turn to him in a frame that allows for you to recognize where and how, as a vehicle, the gain is in it for you more than anyone else. Two, in the context of what we're talking about, you want to start thinking deeply about the words that you use in your prayer. That of the etiquettes of dua, the recommendations that are given to us, but the mannerisms, one that is there, that is emphasized, is that you use words that are familiar to you. You speak in language that you are comfortable in. And you take words that individually and subjectively resonate within your heart. This does not mean you can't join in a collective prayer with others, but to see and understand that just like we have the fard salah that we are told to pray in jama'ah, in congregation, warka'u ma'a raki'een, the Quran says, that make ruku with the ones who make ruku are, that you come together in congregation. The collective has benefit, but so too the recommendation is to pray your sunnah prayers individually, because the individual has benefit also. And it's not either or, it's both and. And so you start to think about how you find presence in the words that you have, that you are turning to God in. And you spend some time reflecting, thinking about the state of the content of what you're making dua for. And if you were to categorize it and just simply separate into two frames, dunya and akhirah, this world and the hereafter, of the du'as that you make, when in fact you make them, how many would fit into the category of this world alone versus how many would fit into the category of what is otherworldly? And where and how you can find an overlap, that if you were to turn it into more of a Venn diagram than something that was just columns, meaning you had two circles and then an overlapping circle, what was it that you were making dua for that was of a benefit in this world as well as the next? Or sought to give you something in this world that would yield benefit in the next? And what is it that's just solely of this world? And what is it that is just solely of the world beyond this one? Intentionality can change something that is purely for dunya into something that becomes a dunyawi ask that is a means to gain in the world from the world beyond this one. But you start to think about it. You start to let yourself be present. And my recommendation to all of you is that you get comfortable with one of these and you sit down and you start then just jotting down your thoughts and your notes. What is it that I would make dua for? Who is it that I would make dua for? What are the people in my life, the communities, the places that are important to me, those who have done for me or sacrificed for me, who I have benefited from and gained from? What is it that my heart really is in need of, that I long for? And there's no capacity that is beyond Allah's capacity, Azza wa Jal. He is the first, He is the last. Before there was anything, there was Him. After there is nothing, there will be Him, the creator, the sustainer, the provider. If you're going to ask of Allah, you ask of Allah, knowing who Allah is. And so as your words start to get focused upon, you start to then think about where and how you enhance some of that for your own gain and your own benefit. And so you move from content third to recognizing who it is that you're actually turning to, Azza wa Jal. And when you ask of Allah, you don't want to ask in a way that is not befitting of His majesty and His capacity. So when you're writing your du'as or you're reflecting upon them, you want to make du'a that is asking for the best of everything. Ya Allah, give me entrance into Jannah is very different than Ya Allah, give me Jannat al-Firdaus without any judgment, the company of your most beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the company of all those who I love. If you're going to ask for something, ask for the best version of it, inclusive of the best version of yourself. You start to invoke Allah in a way that understands who it is that He is to you. And quite often, many of us are left to wonder, does Allah hear our prayers? We've gone into a phase four of opening in New York City, alhamdulillah. May Allah make things easy for the people of New York, as well as people throughout this country who are facing COVID-19 still, and at the faults of policymakers who are making self-interested decisions, creating a lot of havoc and a lot of unnecessary death for so many. May Allah make it easy and make us a means through which He brings benefit to His creation. In New York City, with some of the phases of opening, I've been able to take my children to New York City playgrounds again. And when you're in a New York City playground and the children are running around everywhere, sometimes it's hard to keep a track of your kid. My 4-year-old Kareem and my 7-year-old Medina, they like to play and run, and they always want to be on different things, on different ends of the playground. But Allah has blessed you and I with capacity that is beyond just simply seeing with eyes. We too have ears that we hear with, hands that we touch with, minds we think with. So much different sensory perception is given to us. And in the midst of so many young children who are not my children, as voices are shouting and playing, even muffled behind masks, I'm still able to pull the voice of my son and the voice of my daughter at different ends and different places of this playground, or even when they're playing together on it, within a sea of voices. And if a parent in a limited capacity of hearing and seeing is able to still recognize and pull and discern the words that their child is saying to them as numerous voices are calling out, Allah Azawajal, as the all-seeing and all-hearing, is most definitely pulling your dua and prayer out of the sea of duas and prayers that are coming to Him, Azawajal. And the magnification of your dua does not limit the hearing, listening, and acceptance of anybody else's prayer. And so when you turn to Allah, recognize who it is that you are turning towards. And you turn to Him in supplication and dua in a way that recognizes that He, Azza wa Jal, is definitely hearing it. Within it, the challenge comes of our own capacity, as well as placement of the function of this dua in the course of things. You don't only have to make dua for quote unquote the big things in your life, but you can make dua for anything and everything. You turn to an entity, Azawajal, who wants what's best for you, can be in a sphere where He, Azawajal, is not looking for reasons to push you away, but looking for reasons to see how you play a role in determining your proximity to Him. And this gift of dua is so amazing because you don't need anybody else to make it for you. There's not somebody who is more holy or more sanctified, no mediator. You don't need somebody who is in a certain position of authority. You can just make your dua a one-way link to Allah Azawajal. Whatever words that you have, you can't read the Arabic of the Quran, it's okay. You haven't memorized a lot of verses of the Quran, it's okay. You struggle with different parts of different things because they're not familiar. You're trying to get accustomed to it. It's okay. You can speak words from your heart, languages of love that resonate from within your being because they are coming from a place of familiarity. And you can make yourself vulnerable in ways unlike any other time you make yourself vulnerable, because the one that you are speaking to, Azawajal, is hearing you in ways that a lot of times the people around us just don't listen. So many of us are accustomed to speaking to people and either getting nothing from them or just getting solutions. And where there's an absence of empathetic listening, affirmation and validation of the pain we feel, the sorrow we feel, the grief, the anxiety, the emotions, individuals wanting to tell us what to do and becoming more solution-oriented, rather than wanting to hold and carry and absorb some of the heaviness that we have within us. Not letting us feel alone, but saying that we're in this with you. This is where our Creator says that if you just come to Him One arm's length, he comes to you two arms length. You go to him walking, he comes to you running, closer to you than your own jugular vein, Azzawajal. But your reliance upon him is one that the Abrahamic narratives give us indication of recognizing that we put our trust not in our own ability to rationalize, which has limited capacity, but we recognize that there is a layer of rationality that is beyond or does not necessitate our understanding in order for it to have validity. So the prisms of knowing are not just irrational versus rational, that it makes no sense or it makes sense subjectively. But within the God-centered prism, we have irrationality, rationality, and supra-rationality. That this does not make sense to me, this makes sense to me, and this does not need for me to make sense of it in order for it to make sense. So sometimes you're going to ask of Allah, and He is going to hold off for your benefit. Sometimes you're going to ask of Allah, and He's keeping it for you for eternity, not just for a dunya sense that's going to feel like seconds when you leave from this world, but forever, in the truest sense of forever, that you will have it there, subhanAllah. And sometimes He will keep it from you because there's something better that's in store. The ability to understand and rationalize necessitates us recognizing that we are simply creation of our Creator. And we might not get it, that something is not good for us, or this is not the time for us, or that we already have what it is that we are seeking. We're just not seeing it because we're not looking at it through the perspective of hearts. We're looking at it simply from a vision of our eyes, simplistically, without depth of perspective. My four-year-old Kareem, he woke up today and he had his breakfast a little bit later than usual with his sister. And then shortly before lunch, he said that, can I have a snack, a treat, a tube of frozen yogurt that we get for them from Trader Joe's that they really like, cherry and strawberry flavors and other things. And I said, Kareem, you can't have it right now because you're gonna have lunch and it'll ruin your appetite. And he said, can I go and ask Mama? And I said, go ahead, let's see what she says. Because if Mama said it's fine, then Baba is going to say it's fine. And my wife, she said the same thing. And then Kareem walked back through the hallway to where I was sitting, and he was starting to get sad and upset and flustered. And everybody always says no, and I really wanted this thing, and I didn't get it, and no one ever gives to me what it is that I would want. I said, hold on, Kareem. I didn't say to you that you can never have it. I said that you just can't have it right before you eat lunch because you won't eat your lunch. And he says, but everyone always says no to what it is that I ask of. And I said, literally this morning you asked me if you could watch some cartoons, and I let you watch cartoons and you watched them for a long time. So did I say no to everything? He said, no, you didn't. And I said to my baby boy that understand that your words are as important when you are talking to Allah as when you are talking to yourself. And how you tell yourself the situation is what your mind and your heart will actually believe it to be. Because your heart and your brain do not recognize what is true or what is reality, but they simply yield to what you are telling it reality is. And if in moments you say to yourself that everything is universally negative and nothing ever works, and you use this absolute language, you start to then embrace that for yourself. And so I said, hey man, didn't I tell you that yes, you can watch this in the morning when you asked? And he said, yes. I said, then don't say that it's not happening ever. And that's not for me, but for you, because you're going to then stop seeing what you actually have. And he said, okay, Baba. And it's not that we anthropomorphize our relationship with God in any capacity. But sometimes, for the sake of my child, I have to be able to say no, as well as just no, not right now, as well as saying that here's something that is much better than what you are asking for, or what you are asking for is not good in any capacity. Because my 4-year-old, my 7-year-old still have the capacity of a 4-year-old and a 7-year-old. And where I can divorce from myself the need for my own self-elevation and see that a lot of what they ask for is completely fine to ask for. But sometimes me as the father who gets to benefit from seeing their smiling faces when I say yes, also still has to benefit from the role of a father by saying that, no, this is not something that makes sense. And Allah Azzawajal, even more so than a father to his child, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says to us that he is more merciful to us than a mother is to his child. And the recognition that at times that you and I will utilize retrospect heavily to think about what it was that we did not gain in a way that creates sensibility. But the moment will yield a distinct sense of contentment when we can say that this did not come to me and Allah, his promise is true, that it is either being given to me at a later time, that I will get something better than what it was that I was asking for, or it is being held for me in a place of eternity in Jannah. And even if it doesn't feel like it in the moment, all of those things are much better than just getting exactly what we want in pursuit of immediate gratification. And in these days of Dhul Hijjah, you want to remind yourself of that. Other etiquettes and effective ways, the atmosphere that you create for yourself in which you make dua is going to be important. So if you roll out of bed and you try to just rumble some words out of your mouth, you're going to get out of it what you put into it. But if you create the mode through which you are readying yourself, pilgrims going for a hajj, situating themselves in the city of Medina and Mecca, but hearing the adhan be called, praying their sunnah prayers, bathing, washing, ironing their clothes, and walking steps to a place of prayer, all the while readying themselves for the moment of dua, that's what they're putting in their preparation. Versus you roll out of bed after Fajr has passed, you raise your hands maybe at the end when there's nowhere else to go. Family has said no, friends have said no, you are on your last breaths and fumes and everything is anxious and agitated. That dua is not being transformative, not because of the one you are making it to, but the state of the heart that you are bringing to the prayer in the first place. Begin with the dua. Carry it forward through the course of the action. And end with it as well. It'll transform what it is that's happening. And the environment and atmosphere that you situate yourself in is going to be necessarily important as well for it to be as effective as possible. If you surround yourself with noise, then there's going to be noise. And where you have distinct opportunity to not place it on somebody else. My children run around and they have fun and I have fun with them. And when we are running and playing or they are running and playing, I might not be able to make all of the du'as that I want to at that time, but I don't have to turn it into a place of rejection or negativity. I still yield positivity from that and just say, well, maybe I gotta wake up a little bit earlier when the rest of the house is silent and still, so that in that stillness, I can make that prayer. Maybe when everybody has gone to bed for the night, I stay awake for an extra 15 minutes. And I first thank God and the source of my dua for the beautiful angels that he has put into my life, the amazing community that I am blessed to serve, the men and women who I long to be in their physical presence, standing with them shoulder to shoulder again on this blessed day of Jummah and throughout the course of the rest of our days in this world. And I start with gratitude that yields positivity that breaks the negatives and doesn't have me focus on what's not there alone, but seeing what is there and finding beauty. And then letting that be the base of my prayer. Make your du'as in these days of Dhul-Hijjah. Read about when the times are accepted. The du'a of the fasting person when they break their fast. So fast so that you can break your fast and make a du'a that yields to you an accepted prayer. Between the adhan and the iqama, after the fard prayer, which means that you got to pray your fard prayer. And that's not to knock anybody or throw yourself against a wall in a place where you are defending yourself. You can't get the thing that is told to you will come at the end of the action if you don't undertake the action in the first place. So you want the benefit of that prayer that you can make after Fajr is done? Then pray Fajr. And if you do not pray Fajr, then don't get upset. That's your decision, not anybody else's. When the day of Arafah comes, the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah, next Thursday, inshallah, that's a day about making dua. We are going to be doing a program in the evening that our students are putting together, that I will be doing a communal dua for that night as well, that you should definitely come and be a part of. But in these other days and nights and throughout the course of that day, and Sheikh Fayaz Jaffer on that day in the afternoon will be doing some du'as and adhkar as well. But these are days that were made for you and I to make these supplications. Read the du'as of the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam and his family. Read the du'as of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Write down your own du'as. Create for yourself a space in which you can make du'a. Find time in your routine, your schedule that is most conducive for your du'a. Locations and places that are good for you to make your prayer and your du'a. And then all you gotta do is just do it. And put your trust in Allah, who wants nothing less than what's best for you. And knows your needs, especially as they exceed the wants that you might have. We have been running a campaign, and in a few minutes, I'm going to ask you all to make dua with me, inshallah, as we conclude. We've been running a campaign where we're asking people to donate their udhiya to the people of Yemen, the ritual slaughter that takes place around the time of Eid al-Adha, commemorating the Abrahamic example of when the Prophet Ibrahim, peace be upon him, is commanded to sacrifice, slaughter his son. Alhamdulillah, we've raised almost $200,000 so far, and we want to raise what we can. Please, on this day of Jum'ah, contribute to it at launchgood.com/ICNYU for Yemen. And if any of you who are on the various platforms that are with us can put those into the chat boxes so people have the link, launchgood.com/ICNYU, the number 4, Yemen. It'll go a long way in helping people who are not simply without meat, but are simply without food. They won't have anything to eat without this being a means of sustenance for them. The coming week on Thursday, inshallah, we'll be doing some programs for the day of Arafah. On Friday, which will be the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah, we'll be doing a virtual Eid al-Adha program. And details were sent out through our mailing list as well as put up on social media. You can join us from wherever you are in the world. We might not do this Friday reflection next Friday. I'm not sure, but we'll keep you updated. And going forward, we likely will shift it to an earlier time in the day, starting at noon Eastern time, 12 p.m. Eastern time. And if individuals have challenges with that, please let me know. I'll try my best to keep it at this time if that's better for everyone. But again, I would ask for you to join us in these programs, encourage others to join us, to contribute to the campaigns that we have. And lastly, I would ask that if you have capacity and means, that you also consider contributing to our Islamic Center at NYU within the course of these blessed days of Dhul-Hijjah, that we run purely off of the support of community contributions. You can contribute to us at icnyu.org/donate. Whatever, inshallah ta'ala, you're able to give to us would be appreciated. And if you have to choose between contributing to the IC and to the people of Yemen, then please contribute to the people of Yemen, inshallah. That is something that is more important to do, especially at this time. So I'd ask you all to just join me in dua as we close, and to center yourself as we are making this prayer for these days of Dhul-Hijjah to be a means of blessing for us. Allahumma ameen. اللهم لك الحمد كما ينبغي لوجهك وعظيم سلطانك لك الحمد حمدا طاهرا طيبا مباركا فيه ليوم الدين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد في الأولين وفي الآخرين اللهم إنك عفو كريم تحب العفو فاعف عنا يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك اللهم اجعلنا من المخلصين اللهم اجعلنا من المخلصين اللهم اجعلنا من المخلصين. We begin this supplication in your name, Ya Allah, and beseech you to send your choicest salutations upon your most beloved sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. We ask that you shower your infinite mercy upon this gathering, granting each and every one who is present herein and our loved ones only the best in this world and the best in the next. We ask, Ya Allah, that if all of us are meant to be together only at this time, at this place, whether we are young or old, male or female, regardless of our race, our ethnicity, our social class, our country of origin, our cultural heritage, whether we are Muslim or come from a different walk of life, Ya Rabbi, if our individual hearts are meant to be in the presence of all other hearts that are gathered here only at this time, at this place, then gather us all together again in the best of places in the world beyond this one. Ya Allah, Ya Aziz, Ya Arham Ar-Rahimin, most merciful of those who show mercy. In these blessed days of Dhul-Hijjah, these days of pilgrimage, we ask that you give to each of us a desire to take only the way of the traveler and the pilgrim, and enable us with strength as we set out on our journeys towards you. Help us to keep our eyes and hearts focused upon you, that whatever we encounter as we travel in this world may draw us closer to you through it. Make our travel unhindered by worldly possessions, and make us those who simply trust in you for all that we need. Our hearts at times will feel heavy and anxious. Our bodies and limbs will ache and feel unclean. At other times, we will feel uplifted and strong, rejoicing as light enters through us and from us on the path stretching before us. Whether it is a step of pain, perseverance, patience, or pleasure, make it a step of benefit and one that reminds us that our journey is never finished until we reach our ultimate destination. Ya Allah, make us from the people of Jannah. Make us those who are comfortable with leaving behind familiarity in order to find deeper meaning. Those who within moments of doubt find and are given tawfiq to end in true yaqeen and certitude. Along our journey, open our eyes to new visions and true realities, our ears to hear you speaking to us, and our hearts to receive all of your divine love. Grant that our time spent in this world may help us to see ourselves as we really are and the blessing that we strive to become as we desire to be the people you would have us be. And through the month of Dhul-Hijjah, these blessed 10 days that we find ourselves in, we ask, Ya Allah, that you help us to know ourselves better. Ya Allah, Ya Alim, knower of all things, you who has known each of us before we even knew ourselves, through this month of Dhul-Hijjah, these blessed 10 days, help us to know ourselves better. Help us through these blessed days to know our strengths and to live by them, to know our character and how to increase it, to know our pains and how to heal them, to know our value and how to share it, to know our blessings and how to be grateful for them, to know our wants and to see where they conflict with our needs, to know our shortcomings and how to confront and defeat them, to know how to really forgive all those who have wronged us and to actually forgive them, to know how to seek forgiveness from those that we have wronged and to then go out and seek it, to know what charity is by being generous with our wealth and our time, to know what integrity is by being honest and truthful, and to know what goodness is by extending our hands without qualification to all those who are in need. Help us through these blessed 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah to know who it is that we are and not let the people we are today be afraid any longer to meet the people we can be tomorrow. And through them, Ya Allah, help us to know you and your mercy, to know you and your love. Make us from amongst those who live with true contentment every day of our lives, and grant us an abode in the place of ultimate contentment in the world beyond this one. Allow for our beings to be filled with self-love that we can go out and share with others, rather than a love of ourselves that keeps us from being everything that we are able to be. When our hearts are heavy and we are filled with darkness, bring people to us who illuminate us through kindness, compassion, and love. Make us always the reason that people have hope in this world, and never the reason that people might dread it. Help us to know the realities of those that are around us by overcoming whatever it is that exists within us that keeps us away from one another. Through these blessed days of Dhul Hijjah, perfect us inwardly so that we are victorious in the battle that is taking place every day for control of our hearts. Give us victory over selfishness and remove from within us any feelings of arrogance or racism. Increase us in brotherhood and sisterhood so that we might together take on every challenge that we individually face and together celebrate every success and every achievement. Give us hearts that feel sadness when any one of us loses a loved one and the gentleness and mercy needed to be there for them fully. Give us hearts that feel joy whenever any one of us succeeds and the love and hope needed to celebrate that achievement. Give us hearts that are not lost in the pursuit of this world, but hearts that are bold enough to be drawn to the world beyond this one. Let our rage be only at injustice, oppression, and exploitation of people, so that we will work for justice, equality, and peace. Let our tears shed only for those who suffer from pain, rejection, starvation, and conflict, so that we will reach out our hands to comfort them and change their pain into joy. And let our successes be many as we make a difference in this world by doing the things which others say cannot be done. Send us reminders always of what true contentment really is, and let us never be those who sacrifice the fulfillment of our needs by chasing after the complacent desires of our wants. Help us to see this world always through hearts that have benefited from these blessed days of Dhul Hijjah, to see the goodness in all those who are around us, and to see the goodness within ourselves, and to never be those who elevate ourselves by denigrating others, to see the benefit in any challenge that comes our way, and to not pass on a gift that can only be acquired through patience and perseverance. For any pain and torment that we might have faced, Ya Allah, through it, give us ease, understanding, and facility. For any suffering that we have sustained, bring to us understanding and strength of healing. Grant us a life that is filled with a wellness of our minds, our bodies, our spirits, and our hearts. Make these blessed days of Dhul Hijjah days of rejuvenation for us, days of renewal for us, days of replenishment. Grant us both in and through them a much needed peace that we long for, even if we don't realize it. And throughout these blessed days, help us to make decisions through our hearts and never at their expense. Put into our hearts a desire for nothing less to take from these blessed days of Dhul Hijjah all that it is that we can, and remove from our beings in their entirety anything that distracts us from it. In our actions of the days, in our standing of the nights, help us to remember all those who are forgotten, whether by us alone or the world around us. Give us energy to fast for their sake, energy to stand into the nights, and the sincerity to make dua for all those who are special to us. Through these blessed days of Dhul Hijjah, increase us in our Islam. Through these blessed days of Dhul Hijjah, increase us in our Iman. Through these blessed days of Dhul Hijjah, increase us in our Ihsan. Make the Quran our guide and grant us a deep understanding of it. Make the Sunnah our goal, both inward and outward aspects of it. And make our prayer our anchor, granting us the true sweetness that Salah and Dua only can. Make the best of our deeds the last of our deeds. And let us not leave this world other than in a state that is most pleasing to you. For all those who find themselves ill, make this ailment for them a means of purification in this world and a means of elevation in the next. Grant each one a complete healing and shifa, each one a quick and easy recovery. For all those who have lost loved ones in these days of corona, bring ease to their hearts and let every tear that they have shed raise their loved ones in rank and degree over and over again. Make them from the shuhada, Ya Rabbi, and help us to remember them always. Ya Allah, you are with us. Though we cannot see you, we know that you see us and that you are always by our side. You love us more than we could know, and you know each tear that we have cried. We trust you, guide us and hold us until we are recovered and well. Relieve us of all pain and free us from any suffering. Help us to obtain strength for the sake of the weary, hope for those who are discouraged, and joy for each and every one who is downhearted. Ya Allah, bless us in our journey in this dunya and help us to gain from it. Help us to realize that we are only pilgrims on this earth, and keep us from being too attached to worldly possessions, making us those who live as true travelers would. Protect us always from hearts that are not humble, tongues that are not wise, and eyes that have forgotten how to cry. Forgive us for our shortcomings and guide and bless us all. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta samiul alim. وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. جزاكم الله خير. Thank you so much for joining us. May Allah make this day of Jum'ah a day through which you recognize the blessings and barakah that have been given to you. May He make it a day that does not end before you do good for someone else, and does not end before you recognize with real uplifting gratitude and appreciation all that it is that you have been given. And may He make it a day that does not end before you and I feel the love, the benefit, the blessing of those who care for us as well. May Allah accept from all of us. Please again do contribute to our campaign to assist our sisters and brothers in Yemen at launchgood.com/ICNYU for Yemen. And please share with others as well. Please do join us for our coming programs in the month of, in these days of Dhul Hijjah, as well as our Eid al-Adha programs and our different prayers that we'll be doing and hosting. Inshallah ta'ala, Allah Azza wa Jal will accept it from all of us. Wallahu ta'ala alim wa billahi tawfiq. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuhu.
If you would like to listen to more, please donate to www.icnyu.org/donate. For more of our virtual programs, go to www.icnyu.org/classes. If you have any questions, email us at info@icnyu.org.